know at the beginning of the year in terms of the performance agreement that we had signed with the minister and the board, six strategic objectives that were agreed on. Number one, the increase of the agency's revenue share for outstanding improvement penalties, implementation of effective governance processes to achieve a qualified opinion, implementation of capital communication campaigns, implementation of effective association processes, undertake comprehensive legislative review, and full transfer of the functions from the RCMC to RTIA. In the next slide, we give you a brief overview of the exact performance that we have based on those strategic objectives that we have committed on. First one, increase the agency's revenue share. That was achieved. The updated project budget was 50 million. And we stayed in the last column the restraints and the limits for non-achievement. As compared to the previous year, we had 28.5 million rand, increased that to 49 million over the second year. Implementation of effective governance processes to achieve an unqualified opinion. This is something that is very critical to us in the exercise of prudence and to ensure that we are fully committed and we can evidence that commitment in terms of clean administration and good corporate governance. Back to back, this is the second year running that we have an unqualified opinion. And as the committee would remember, we are an entity that was born out of turbulent times, and for the first year we had a disabled of opinion, and due to the commitment that we had, the effort that was taken, we achieved something that typically is never achieved, unfortunately, within our government entities. We turned it around completely from a disabled of opinion to an unqualified opinion, and that's the way to keep them back to back in this current financial year. Summary of the third one, implementation of ARPA communication campaigns. Here it's an underachievement. We did not achieve it fully. And what we did was in recognition of the financial challenges that we had as an institution. We did bet on the resources that the department had through strategic engagement and partnerships that we have with our sister agencies. That is where we then placed leverage in that respect. However, we do accept that the reach that could have been attained was quite limited due to the lack of funding. Implementation of effective adjudication processes, this is the real core of what the responsibility of the RTIA is about as an independent adjudicator, sitting outside of the operational environment between the road users and the traffic law enforcement authorities, for us to ensure that we can objectively view any issues or challenges that have been set. We started that financial year with a backlog, and the first thing that we wanted to be able to do was to ensure that we comply with the law insofar as the provision of the promotion of administrative justice is concerned, ensuring that we adjudicate everything that we receive within the time that has been given. So 100% compliance was achieved. We had a total of 85,000 representations that we received. Out of 35,000, 34,000 were adjudicated, and we had a balance of only 683 representations that we carried over to the first quarter of this current financial year. The first objective that we have committed was to undertake comprehensive legislative review process. This is something that we recognize that the ARPA Act in itself was passed only in 1998 and implemented after a 10-year period of law. Naturally, there would have been quite a number of significant developments within the legislative framework that renders the ARPA Act very difficult and self-contradictory on a number of other areas. So we undertook a process and published a draft amendment bill on the 20th of February 2013. Some of the critical elements that were contained in that was the inclusion of rehabilitation programs directly relevant to ensure that we can achieve the objectives of increased losses. Second part was establishment of traffic rehabilitation schools, as well as establishment of an infringement appeals tribunal. We also came up with something that was a new innovation of determining certain categories of offenses, whereby the penal measures that would have been levied by the courts would include compulsory community service, a government mutualist, government job hospitals, so that those people that cause accidents can be able assist in rehabilitating people that are seriously injured, so they can see the result of the irresponsible behavior that we're displaying on the road. The last objective was not achieved, the full transfer of the ARPA functions to the RPIA, including the transfer of bank accounts and all the functions related thereto, insofar as the pronouncement are related to the implementation of the ARPA. This we did not achieve as a result of the previous financial year, 31st of March. However, you will see the notation at the bottom of the slide that we recognize that a significant event has actually occurred through the shareholders' committee. The agreement has been made that the ARPA account and functions actually belong to the RCIA, and that is something that we've implemented. Continuously, we've been engaging with our sister agency, the RCIP, and we have effected that full transfer with effect from the 1st of October 2012. Over the previous financial year, it was not achieved, but however, it is a significant event that has subsequently been achieved in the current state. We then go into the actual background of the operational environment that we have. We are the new world baby within the transport entity. We started the previous financial year with a sub complement of 22, thereby increasing by 16 or 72% to close the financial year with a total of 38. Operating on a grant of only 5 million rand, and at the end of the financial year, unfortunately, as much as we were excited, we received an additional environment of 40 million rand, but unfortunately, this environment was received on the very last business day of the previous financial year. And there wasn't much that we could do in order to be able to use that. And the board itself continued operating at a base that was stretched due to the limited numbers of its members, exacerbated by another resignation of one member, and management in that respect continued to be overly stretched due to insufficient outcomes. We implemented also an internal system of control to increase corporate governance, thereby making sure that we can comply with all the governance principles as well as the ARPA Act and the PWA. To the extent that is possible, we won't be able to realize that the ARPA Act in itself places us in a very difficult position because of the contradictory effect that is contained in the Act itself as it currently is. However, to the extent that is possible, we implemented proactive measures in order to address the deficiencies and to review the progress on a quarterly basis that we are reporting on. One of the major achievements that we then had was the actual establishment of internal audit unit, which we never had in the previous financial year. Bear in mind that because it's a newly established entity, in the previous financial year, we only had the total staff complement of 10. And then we moved that close to 22, and that's when we then were able to start establishing an internal audit unit and invert the related audit processes and the system of control. On the human resource overview, we have achieved 72% increase. Nonetheless, in terms of the strategic plan that was submitted, it was an underperformance by 49% because we had targeted to reach a total staff complement of 75 by the end of this previous financial year. Through engagement with the RPC, as part of the requirement for the transfer of the functions, we had two measures that were transferred from the RPC to the RPRA, because the responsibilities and duties were directly related to the members of the RCIA. Ex-staff were appointed in order to be able to clean the database that we have of the National Contravention Register. This is a critical element that we've always been facing about the level of the data integrity and some of the deficiencies that we have of the inability to, within the transport environment, to enforce the address validation that anybody else that does any business with our sister entities can be able to do so through the proof of the address particulars and the related conversations that need to be done. The representation officers were also increased to 8. In the next table, we then indicate the racial composition of our staff. 86.84% comprised of Africans, colored 7.89%. At the moment, we close the financial year, we have our Indian representation. White colleagues comprised of 5.26%. The critical element in terms of our operational environment services is then what we're discussing under the performance of the issuing authorities. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time here in order to be able to show us the impact and the interpretive nature of what we're expecting to be able to happen. in total, the number of all the infringements that were issued by the Indian authorities, 3.8 million. And we're talking about only four authorities because at the moment, Africa is only implemented the city of Johannesburg, city of Tshwane, and within those two jurisdictional areas, the Road Traffic Management Corporation plays a role, as well as Gauteng Department of Community Safety. In total, we see the greater majority being those infringements that have been issued by the city of Johannesburg, 2.8 million, followed by Tshwane, 869,000, and Gauteng, 79,000, and the RTMC, 61,000. I also need to give you a little bit more background, because when it comes down to the RTMC here, there is no electronic law enforcement mechanism that is implemented. Whereas the majority of all these infringements in Johannesburg are actually camera-generated notices, where you will find there's only one officer, the camera will be sitting there and continually keep on touching whenever somebody else goes over the speed limit. So we need to be able to have an effective balance between camera-generated infringement notices and hand-written infringement notices. And we'll go a little bit into the details in terms of the interpretations that come out of it. This is a derivation on a diagrammatical process to see exactly that information that we generated with the numbers. We then did a comparison of those improvements, the performance of this previous financial year vis-a-vis the one that happened over the previous year. And the percentage change, again, the greatest majority being within the municipality of Johannesburg. 224% being changed between 11-12 and 12-13. Let me say also from the very beginning that the fact that there is a dangerous difference between Johannesburg, that was because of their refusal to comply with the actual service of infringement notices, point number one. The second point, their inability to capture and upload all these infringements onto the e-mail system. Insofar as we are concerned with the RCRA, we are always coming at the very end of the process. There is nothing that we'll be able to know until such time that the issue was that they uploaded their information onto the e-mails. From the 22nd of December 2012, that is when Johannesburg started complying by uploading the greatest majority of the infringement notices that they have kept. That's the biggest difference that we have of their percentage jump to 224%. But others would remain just about similar in respect of an acceptable percentage change in them. Again, we then looked at the infringement notices that we captured per category. And this one becomes important because the intention from our side, Jefferson, why we want to be able to bring down all these elements is it's not only a matter of looking at statistics and trying to interpret it, but the whole intention is to assist all law enforcement officers by interpreting this and informing their planning processes so that they can identify hazardous locations, identify critical areas of deficiencies where the necessary effective intervention must come. From the beginning, the actual ones, these are the ones that are much more important. We're talking about hand-written notices. And if we are going to make an impact in terms of road safety, this is where the concentration must be. Because the officer will be still stopping you by the roadside, and he will be able to see what is wrong with motor vehicle. After three in themselves are only camera-generated notices. In essence, they only detect speed. And this is where the majority of the infringements that have been captured are stemming from. Camera speed-related infringements. The after-safety ones, these are the handwritten parking notices. Somebody at the end of the month had gone to a bank and you will pay for the parking space. Unfortunately, you ended up spending a lot of time in bank. So these become the handwritten notices. If you are going to make an impact in terms of budget, we need to concentrate on the handwritten notices because when an officer stops an infringer, you can be able to check the roadworthiness of that thing. You'll be able to see that this particular car is actually drunk and therefore needs to be arrested. On after three, you can never be able to see this. The whole interest is purely taken towards only speed law enforcement. And the majority of everything that happens is actually in respect of the Article 3. The intention, therefore, is by engagement with all the issue authorities, we are able to show that their own performance, based on what they have captured themselves, and we can interpret that and say, in order to make progress, we need to be able to intervene in this type of research. We also compared the performance from the 11-12 curve to the 12-18 to look at the percentage jump. Again, the biggest being in respect of the temporal generated infringement notice. The following slide gives the performance of the extreme authorities of what they captured on a month-to-month basis to be able to see now the period between September and October. That is where the biggest equivalent and the biggest gap we've had in the gender of those groups. We looked at the performance in respect of only the R4-01s. Again, the R4-01s being the hemorrhaging infringement notices that have actually been stabilizing. And one of the biggest challenges that we are advising the issue authorities is the mere factor in the performance from the R4 area of all the issue authorities. It actually boils down to one officer issuing an average of 1.5 hemorrhage notices per day. You ask yourself, if you're deploying them on an 8-hour basis, what is it that they're doing the whole 8 hours? If there's a possibility that you can issue the first notice in the first 10 minutes of their starting their shift. On that basis, we are letting a whole lot of other people go scot-free. That is why we want to be able to put an emphasis in terms of the interpretative nature of what happens. The greatest impact that we can make on road safety is always. This shows that the officers within the RTMC, that is the average performance on a monthly basis, stemming from just above 1.05, picking up at about just 1.4, against that has just under 1 year for the majority of the period, and the biggest percentage time was about 1.7 notices that were issued for the month of February. We come down to Johannesburg, that represented in blue, in as much as they have issued more than 2 million infringements, camera generated infringement, when it comes down to the hemorrhaging infringement notices, the average performance that they had, stemming from just under 1.3 to peak at the most that they had was about 1.7 individual notices per officer per day. Most of the time, when it comes down to peak periods, we've seen certain examples of, if I may take an example, a motor vehicle that even an ordinary citizen can see this vehicle is grossly overloaded. There is no way that this motor vehicle will safely reach its destination. But it can leave Hebrew in Johannesburg. And as it keeps on traveling, the officers within Gauteng have been leaving that motor vehicle to go. As it continues to drive because of the heavy loads and the impact of it driving, it ends up with the best tire in the province of Limpopo. And Gauteng, city of Tshwane, city of Johannesburg, can proudly proclaim that they have been effective because less accidents have happened in the municipality. But if they were effective, they would have let that motor vehicle go out of their own area, end up causing an accident and people losing their lives in Limpopo. It never gives a negative impression that the Limpopo is actually ineffective in the performance of their duties. These are the interpretations, the analysis that we want to be able to give as a benefit to inform law enforcement operations at the national intervention that needs to be undertaken. Not only that, we've also looked at chairperson. In terms of what has been captured on the app, what is the average performance that happens on a daily basis, you will easily be able to see that given what has been captured by those extreme authorities, midweek seems to be the most dangerous time to be driving. Wednesday, all across, represented here in yellow, is the day when the most number of infringements have actually been captured. Followed, on average, by Monday. But midweek, even if you look there, all of them, Sunday, Monday, and Saturday, in terms of the auto, may seem to be the time period when people are able to drive with a little bit more reasonable care. Is it because of the visibility of the law enforcement officers? Or is it because perhaps on Wednesday there is not too many traffic congestion and people are able to be much more effective during that whole period? But all these statistics, everything else is extrapolated from what the issue authorities have been capturing on the systems themselves directly. One of our biggest interests is therefore also to bring out all this information again. Let's see how it be interpreted. We looked at the performance according to those notices that were issued 10 years of category. Firstly, I will be able to show you. Firstly, in terms of those type of motor vehicles that have been causing a lot of infringement are actually just normal vehicles. The light passenger vehicles comprising of 58% of all the statistics. Followed by other special types of motor vehicles. Then followed by the light low motor vehicles. You will see the heavy passenger vehicles are not making a significant impact vis-a-vis the light motor vehicles. And therefore, when we have this information being appealed, it makes it much easier. If the law enforcement officers want to undertake campaigns to enforce public transport-related laws and regulations, you are able to come up with this kind of things from the interpretations that we'll be able to give on the basis of what has been captured. Again, you look at the number of notices that have been captured, we're representing it there. The light passenger motor vehicles being the one that is in the greatest majority represented. The next adventure is to look at the type of laws that have been broken. In respect of this, all those notices that has been captured, you see the majority of it is in respect of the rules of the road and driving signals, representing 105%. The percentage jump vis-a-vis the 2011 and the 2012-13 period. Also, you look at infringement in respect of vehicle registration and licensing with a 47% jump. Look at the infringement in respect of vehicle lights. Another one in respect of the passenger or goods vehicles. So we'll be able to go into the system, categorize each and every one of the infringements that have been committed, and look at something that can inform us. If the law enforcement officers are going to go out on special operations, do concentrate on this and you have a specific campaign that has been determined. Again, representatives that are domestically, you'll be able to get the very same information that you're generating. The analysis shows that driving accounted for 73.7% of all the infringements that have been captured. Again, I need to be able to put an emphasis. Given that we're coming at the end of the process, we do not originate anything from ourselves. It is what the law enforcement officers have done that will start generating things. However, there would be some infringement that have been issued, yet not yet uploaded on the NCR. So we do not have those records until such time that the issue authorities upload them on the NCR. Further accounting only for 22%, Gauteng only for 72.1%, and latency only 1.6% of captured infringements. Everything infringement account for 24%, but the majority is in respect of the speed-related camera infringement. There are other options that we've also got in respect of the ATO, the selective options of an infringer choosing to go to court. Then we are able to break down the statistical element and see what percentage that is represented in respect of the total number that we received. Perhaps one of the most important ones in respect of what we do is the consideration of representations. Again, what projections have been made? Initially, we were operating on the basis of the analysis compared under the Criminal Procedure Act that indicates an average of about 5% of all the notices that have been issued will automatically result in people wanting to be challenging by either going to court, approaching a public prosecutor, or ending up before a magistrate. However, the performance in respect of what we have received, given that we had 35,000 representations on the basis of 3.8 million notices that were issued, it gives a total of only 1.24% of the notices that were issued that resulted in representations. We're also very careful about how we implement this because we need to make the necessary provision in terms of the number of representations from our side. Given that when the different point system will start being implemented, a lot of people want to be able to challenge the notices that have been issued. And by challenging those notices, we then need to make the necessary provision by upping the number of the percentage expected for people to be able to submit those representations. And then we look at the, from those ones that we indicated, we said 35,529 that we have received, 34,869 that were then adjudicated. However, it's not only the mere fact of adjudicating them vis-a-vis what has been received. We need to look at what is the actual outcome of those ones Because the actual outcome has a directly relevant negative impact on nation, either on the RTRA or all the other issue modalities. We make a comparison in respect of the percentage number of the representation that have been successful, 43.7%, the ones that have been successful, unsuccessful ones were 56%. It has a negative impact in terms of the successful ones because the total value of what have been indicated as outstanding on those infringements needs to be taken off from the outstanding total. Also made a comparison in respect of the previous financial year 11-12 to 12-18, and the percentage jump was only about 1.33% in terms of the total number that we've adjudicated, and the number of the unsuccessful ones 115%. I'm going to leave the adjudication's performance and just move on, Chairperson, on to the next section in respect of the challenge that we had in the issue of agency letters. You will see during the period 11-12, we had issued agency letters for the rest of the financial year, but during the 12-13 period, agency letters were issued only until the end of July. And this is one of the critical challenges that we are facing because of the negative financial impact and perhaps the negativity that has come from actual implementation. When we sought to extrapolate from the implementation of the pilot study in 2020 was remembering the identification of challenges, deficiencies and loopholes so that we have an opportunity afforded to us to process the necessary interventions in that regard. In the exercise of adjudicatory responsibilities and due diligence, the board at that time realized and made a decision in July 2012 to suspend the issue of agency letters because of the negative financial impact in respect of that. We have processed the amendments to the Act in order to be able to change that we can make the service of government to be much more effective. We now on the public platform, on many occasions, Johannesburg, Swati, all these authorities have been making impassionate pleas for the amendments to the Act, given the negative financial impact that will be experienced if we do not change this and send documents only by registered name or to be able to send them in person. Similarly, the enforcement orders were only served for a 3-month period from May until July, and through those suspensions, one is to be able to do it. Since that time, the Act has actually been amended, we can be in a position to effect it and implement it much more efficiently. The last option that we have in respect of applications for people to pay in installments, only an insignificant amount, a total of 880 that we received for the financial period under review. The payment time frames that we were able to indicate was, yes, in the first phase, remembering that all payment in respect of where you are, if a payment has been made, the RTRE does not receive any share of it. All of it goes to the issue of authority that generated an infringement. Only after the second phase do we receive possibly a share when the infringer makes a payment and we get the loss discounted portion that we're able to come to us, as well as any payment that have been effected in the third phase. The total number that we issued again, 3.8 million infringement notices. Those that were paid within the first 82 days were 141,000, 92,000 in the second phase, 248,000 in the second phase, in total about 481,000 of those infringements that were actually paid. Very important thing that one should be able to look at when we analyze this, because one might think that there is actually not being compliance effectively in respect to that. And when we judge the performance and success of ARTO, it can never be judged on the basis of only one aspect. We need to remember that there are 5 possible options that need to be exercised by the infringer, and the actual payment is only one of them. So if one looks at only the financial impact, one can never say, yes, only 481,000 has been paid for a possible 3.3 million, therefore it has been inefficient. We look at the value of the payments vis-à-vis the value of those payments that were outstanding. 1.9 billion is the total value. What was paid in the first 72 days was 34 million, in the second phase 29 million, and after the third phase the total paid was 79.9 million. 143 million being the total that has been paid, what the trading bill being the total of those infringements that we are seeing. When we did a comparative analysis of the payment rates from 11-12 to 12-18, you see a change of 114% in terms of the total number of those infringements that were captured. The value of the payments that were captured is an improvement by 96%. In terms of the number of infringements that were paid, it's 157% jump, and 65% jump of that payment in terms of the rent value, as well as when you compare it in terms of the percentage reward. Look at the financial performance again, breaking it down as in respect of the previous slides that we just looked at. And here we've broken it down also in the diagrammatic form so that you are able to see the stark differences between the percentage compliance over the previous financial year 11-12 as well as 12-18 in this respect. In terms of the payment that we made, if you look at the total percentage outstanding, during the first phase, the percentage compliance of payment is 3.68%, from day 33 to day 64 is 2.4%. After day 64, it becomes 6.46%, and the total compliance rate of 12.5%. So the outstanding value is actually 87.45%. However, just to be able to emphasize it, considering the slides that I talked about in respect of the financial implications thereof, the total that the outstanding is 87%, but however, that 87% does not take into consideration the four other options that is remaining that an individual can exercise in respect of either opting to go out of the outer process and going to elect a prejudging court, or by nominating the driver that was responsible for the infringement, for the victim at the time the infringement was committed, or by submitting a representation. And through that representation, the successful representation, the financial impact automatically gets eliminated and needs to be reduced out of the total amount that is outstanding. The challenges that we had experienced over the period was the legislative inefficiencies that we then considered, and we had, through working with the department, published the draft amendment bill on the 20th of February. The inadequate funding, at the moment still operating under the funding of 5 million per annum, and the total amount that we expected to be able to fund our operations, obviously, was the effectiveness of giving the revenue portion that belongs to the RTRA for current operations. But however, it gave us challenges that of having sufficient capacity to provide for the related IT infrastructure, the increase of the staffing level, as well as negatively impacted on the limited communication and education, which is one of the primary mandates that we need to be able to do. Conflicts on institute and arrangements, then again that we have indicated our gratitude that with the intervention of shareholders committee is now subsequently being sorted out, we recognize it as a significant event that is occurring in the current financial year. One of the major challenges was the governance issue in respect of insufficient board membership, that we were still running short of 3 board members. But the highlight of the performance achievements, again just quickly, the audit performance as we indicated, second consecutive and qualified opinion, legislative amendments that were published comprehensively that received a lot of support. It is in the process of going through for approval. The institutional capacitation that we had implemented, very cautious but strategic recruitment, as well as establishing the internal audit, the IT, as well as the production units. Marketing and education, we indicated that we'll be leveraging on the department as well as our sister agencies to ensure that we can continue to eliminate the related messages. In respect to the financial performance, just quickly, the total number of infringement fees that we have been able to collect was 49 million. The grant that we received was the grant of 5 million as well as the environment that we received at the end of the financial year of 40 million. Therefore taking the total grants to 90 million. The expenses, the impairment loss on receivables, this is what we recognize as money that is due, the 31 million that you see. What we recognize as the revenue portion that is due to the RTIA, said that it had not yet hit our books. And on that basis, it has been money that was paid at various platforms, at various issue authorities, in those that are outside of the outdoor operating environment. And with that engagement, we said it is something that is due to us. We need to activate the processes of actually getting it. We had an increase in terms of the employment cost vis-à-vis the previous year. Other operating expenditure, you will tell us, there's 19 million. It's a significant decrease from the previous financial year, as we have indicated that since the implementation of the Act, the biggest beneficiary has always been the post office, given that all the services of documents must either be in person or it must be served by registered mail. The decision that was passed by the board on the 25th of July suspended the issuing of the KTC letters and the enforcement orders until such time that we find ourselves in a better financial position. That's why the reduction from 32 million to 19 million of the operating expenditure that we had. In the previous financial year, we finished the end of the financial year with a total cash bank of 146 million due to the requirement that was received. On the very last business day, we had a cash on hand of 13 million. Fortunately, we also then, through the department, wrote to the National Treasury and requested for the retention of those funds that were subsequently approved. The accumulated surplus that we had was 12.89 million and the total net assets of 15 million. Here we then give a more in-depth analysis in terms of the performance that we had. I just want to be able to go on to the audit outcomes of what we have achieved, because in as much as it is a clean audit, again, one of the big issues that the Auditor General has raised as a matter of emphasis is in respect of the material impairment of that 31 million rand that we recognize, however, needs to be repaired until such time that in this current financial year we can be able to report about the progress that we made of recovering those amounts, and it is a process that become much more practical since we have the transfer of the funds to the account from the RTC to the RTI. The overall performance in terms of the predetermined objectives, again, as we also reported, out of the six, we had achieved four of them, the other two not 100% achieved, so that's a 33% underperformance in that respect, such as the non-compliance of the Act, in terms of the issuing of agency letters and enforcement orders. The Auditor General realized the difficulties that we were facing, and we have only done the best that we can, given the productivity aspect of the Act as it currently is. The audit certification, obviously, through governance processes and undertaking something else, places within the audit committee that they have to be able to review all the necessary systems of internal control, the processes that we've made, the engagement with the Auditor General, as well as having reviewed the financial policies as well as the accounting policies, and agreed that the going concern basis is the right one to be able to adopt them. That is, I recommend that the board approve the financial statement as well as the annual report that is going through the whole process. That chapter, I think, in essence, covers some of them, even if I've seen some of them, but we can be able to engage in question and answer session to clarify the issue. Thank you.
What's the name or title of the official that I'm doing the adjudication? 1 million, maybe add 2 billion states. Where is that money actually? That's, is it money that is owed to you by the RDC? Is it money that's in those bank accounts that you say needed to be transferred? Where is that money? Where does it come from? And are you able to get it all? In terms of people who are doing their education, you talk about a soft complement of 30%. You talk about R as representation opposite their age of it. Do all these topics just in Gauteng because Arta only currently operates in Gauteng, or are they elsewhere in the country? Do you have to communicate with other parts of the country so that the government wants to roll out Arta elsewhere? Do you have people who can do the adjudication somewhere else? And in terms of the RTMC issuing notices, 61,000 of them, who are the officials who are issuing the notices? I know who the JMP officers are, what they look like. I know what the SWANA, the Department of Police Department officers are, what they look like. And you spoke about the Gauteng Department of Correction of Community Safety and the RDC. Now, on the freeway, there are officers in those blue vehicles in Gauteng. Which one are they? Are they Gauteng Department of Community Safety traffic officers? Or are they RTMC traffic officers? Is the Housing Department of Community Safety notices issued by that? Or who? I've reported out to people who stopped on the freeway and asked for putting documents for SATA. Who are those officers who are stopping people and asking them for the documents? Trying to establish how many different kinds of officers we have operating on the ground, because I don't know, you know, I see someone drop off who is that. It's not JMP, it's not SWANA, MPD. Who are those? Trying to establish the different categories of people that are there, because then when the public emails me and says, who is this person? Must I comply? I don't know. I want to know who those different issuing authorities are, if you can just clarify for us. And then, in terms of the suspension of your issuing of the compliance orders and the, sorry, I was giving the name of those notices. The courtesy letters and the enforcement notices. You had to stop issuing them because essentially there was no money paid for it. The part of that that surprises me is that we have a board, we have management, we have an entity. Okay, it's new, so I understand that sometimes it takes a while to sort it out. But I mean, anybody in South Africa who's older than 25 knows you get traffic fines and that they must persecute you. And there's got to be a cap on it. So whether it's invested mail or email, there's quite a few notices. I find it hard to understand how an entity gets set up by government. And neither the Department of Transport, or the entity concerned. Nor anyone else in government gets on calculator and works out the costs of sending the money. And so in the middle of the year, we start to suspend sending the letters and sending the enforcement rules because there's no money to pay for postage. There's nobody out for postage, is that? Nobody in the department, nobody in the RTIA, nobody in RTMC credited for postage. That's the problem, because I mean that looks like a problem. Millions and millions of banks were supposed to be. And that way, that's the problem. And then the whole thing came to cancel. And my final question is, and I've been asked by the public, so I'm not here to make an issue for the department, but I'm here to make an issue about the public. But I want to know now what happens to their funds when the correct letter wasn't sent. Enforcement notice was sent. And in a number of cases, JMP did not get the original infringement notice by nature ever. The volume of those is enormous. Thousands, probably millions of them, where the law hasn't been followed. massive problem. And obviously, you can't deal with it by violence. It's going to be collectively deal with it or what the appropriate measures. Chairperson, I think that's all for now.
Thank you. we should also be told that we are fixing, we're not going forward with the same scenario. There should be forward movement. I understand where you come from, but as a child, you can't be open discussion. And the last one, it should not be a particular point. It should be a jail for the entire country. Now, as we went to the Holy Spirit, he comes from that province. He understands. That's why he's having the different traffic officers and so on in the prisons. I think that national, because it is not covered in the document. So where do they come in the picture?
Thank you, Senator. When we are here speaking about this life of the square platform, can I be clear on this, the difference between? Because when you talk about one place to one is a housing, and then we put housing outside, I just want to get through what I want. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for your questions. I noticed about 10 of them, some much support. First one, who does adjudication and are they qualified people? It's the people that are doing the adjudication are employed by the Road Traffic Enforcement Agency. They are qualified people. We have a number of them that are advocates, basic people that have got legal qualification. We have advocates, we have those that were attorneys, and the prerequisites, the qualification criteria is actually determined by regulation. So it's people that are highly qualified, have got the real experience that is required in terms of that. So when they become employed by the RCRE, those are the ones that we call representation officers or ROs. Those are the ones that are doing that. The 31 million impairment, where does it sit, where will be able to get the 31 million is the revenue that has been generated, what has already been paid through, and movement has been indicated in the ARDO accounts, and it's money that is sitting at the different licensing departments in other provinces. At the moment, yes, ARDO is implemented only within these limited jurisdictions in Tuareg and in Johannesburg. But however, given that one might have outstanding public infringement, and this person stays in Pinterest or in Benavina, anywhere else in the country, whenever they go renew their driving licenses or renew their auto vehicle license, any business that they had with the licensing department, when they are supposed to finalize the transaction, it shows the essential portion that is outstanding in respect of the traffic infringement that would have been generated in Johannesburg or Iguan. They make those payments, and the money is actually being retained by those issuing authorities and needs to be transferred over into the actual bank account. What is the possibility that we get it? It is a very rare possibility. That's why we did not write off the amount. We simply impaired it due to the inability at that time to be able to collect all of it, and we don't know how much of it would actually be able to collect. But however, we need to be able to put the necessary effort of making sure that we go and get it. The good thing about it is, it is not money that we have to have a lot of difficulty getting, because compliance has been effected in the sense of this person paying for it. So it is only sitting at a certain municipality. So it's for us to go to those municipalities, we make arrangements, and we are able to collect that money. The representation officers, are they all in Gauteng? Yes. For the moment, all of them are in Gauteng and we are situated in our offices in Midrand. The officers that are issuing notices in Gauteng in those 3 weeks, yes, the RTMC does have officers that are employed. They are called the National Traffic Police. And they issue infringement notices. The good thing about the RTMC is they can make the biggest impact, because remember we said there is no total generated infringement that they are issuing. So it is actually a highly interactive enforcement that they are doing, because the officer will stop you by the road and they will be able to look at other beneficial aspects, such as identifying a driver that is drunk, and they can be able to identify and detect road-related motor vehicles, something that you are unable to do by using only cameras and identification notices. So this RTMC does have the National Traffic Police Unit and the issue of those notices.
Okay.
Just a few things
4 last time.
Okay, I was gonna answer that question when I respond to maybe I was only for it when I respond to other motivation. But yes, the other is implemented on a jurisdiction basis, meaning physically within the boundaries of Johannesburg and within the boundaries of France. So each one is finally Metropolitan Police Department, plus Johannesburg Metropolitan Police Department. However, you also have what we call the GDOS, the Gauteng Department of Community Safety. Because Gauteng, Johannesburg actually falls within the jurisdiction of Gauteng. So when the Gauteng officers that are employed by Gauteng province see infringement in the jurisdiction of one, they will issue armed notices. If it is Johannesburg, they will issue armed notices. But however, because their jurisdiction is going across the whole of Gauteng, they will not issue armed notices, but they will issue Section 341 notices or Section 56 notices if they detect something that happens in Eisenberg or something that happens in Krugersdorp, because it is outside of the boundaries where armed is being delivered.
Sorry, Chip, just a final clarification. So I understand what JNPD and Bonaventure look like, the officers. Then there are those blue cars that you see in traveling on the freeways. Are those National Traffic Police or their officers from the Gauteng Department of Community Safety? What is the difference? Because the public doesn't know how to know. When I look at them, I drive, I see somebody. How do I know who they are?
Yeah, if I may with respect, I think I will just leave it for my honorable colleagues in the office because they're more law enforcement. The issue of the candidate sentences and the enforcement orders, yes, it was actually twofold. Number one was in respect of the non-payment of the outstanding infringement and the lack of financial ability from the side of the RTRA to be able to carry the obligations that come in that respect. However, the underlying difficulty is because of a lack of effective legislative framework, if you go to a bank, you open up an account, the bank will enforce the legal provisions. You will not be allowed to do that unless you are able to provide verification of the address details and they are able to prove who you are. That is something that is not existing within the whole transport environment. It is something that needs to be implemented with agency. That is the first part. Due to that, all the infringers that have received infringement notices, some of them do not even bother to go and collect those infringement notices. If they do not collect those infringement notices, it could be because the address particulars are incorrect. And unfortunately, if those address details are incorrect, we will send candidate letters on the basis of the address that we're using that will extrapolate from the innate system. So you will use the same address that did not reach the intended result of what you wanted. That becomes through the expenditure of our side. Similarly, after 32 days, we will have to follow that up again with the issue of enforcement. So that is something that we have undertaken, and when we started realizing that it does not yield the required results, we therefore had to come up with some interventions. And the interventions that we'll be able to sort out is exactly the kind of challenges that all our troops recognizes in respect of the provision of a comprehensive legislative framework. At the moment, the Act ties us in such an extent that you do not have any options that you can be able to make corrective actions that will be effective in that regard. So, because of the lack of data integrity, coupled with the limited funding that the RTRA has, it was then realized by the board that it would be reckless trading if we continue with the issue of infringement, we continue with the case letters and enforcement orders, not having the capacity to be able to bring our position. That was the reason why these were then stopped. Was this not budgeted for? Indeed, it was budgeted for. We placed the greatest amount of reliance in respect of what would be determined and received from what the creditors are paying. On the basis of 5 million, the whole intention was that after the RTIA should be self-funding in itself. The more effective you become by getting all the money that you're collecting, the more you'll be able to sustain itself. However, we have to realize that whatever intentions may be good, it takes money to get money. If the RTIA that was not correctly funded from the very beginning, for it to be able to go get money, we recognize there's a lot of money that is outstanding there. we need to be able to go get that money. But for us to get that money, you have to implement mechanisms of control that's going to cost you a lot of money before you can expect to be able to achieve anything. Unfortunately, the nature of the requirements from the RPRA is always going to be for us to expend the necessary capital before we can expect any reward that will come outside. What happens to clients when the correct procedure has not been sent? This is one of the most difficult things that we're having, because the end itself is contradictory. I'll give just an example. All notices that are sent are supposed to be sent either by registered mail or in person. This is a provision, chairperson, that's in section 30 of the Act. Furthermore, it then says, subsection 2 of section 30, if this document that has been sent has not been collected, after 10 days of posting, it will be deemed to have been sent. Right? That's the second part. But however, a deeming provision that we always provide within the legislation is always going to be repudiated. So you need to be able to make that provision. But if you go into section 1 in the definition, it says any document that needs to be served will not be served until the infringer has actually signed for that document. That becomes a contradiction itself, because in essence, there is no registered mail item that could actually be served if an infringer has not signed for it. So infringers do not go to collect those infringement notices, and by not collecting them, you are already questioning the legal validity of the contradictory part of section 30 vis-à-vis section 1. What is the next option that you can do? Is to be able to submit a representation. Representations are handled in accordance with section 18 of the Act, what our officers need to be able to do. However, you cannot, at the point that you submit a representation, cite a procedural default as a substantive basis for you to be successful. Meaning, you can't say a method of service is the relevant excuse for you not to be able to pay the fee. Section 80 basically says, if you're going to challenge any infringement, the basis of the challenge must be, I did not commit this infringement. But none of these infringers are actually questioning the fact that they broke the law. So if you're breaking the law, should it be that the method of service should be able to render you to be clean? It cannot be. You need to be able to look at it this way. If I'm going to commit any kind of criminal behavior, supposing if I murder someone, and then I want to come up with an excuse and say, no, but when the officers came to arrest me, they arrested me as a restaurant, and I did not like the way that they actually arrested me. Instead of challenging the fact that I did not commit that particular criminal behavior. But even worse still, there's another contradiction in Section 70. Section 70 says the responsibility of an issuing authority is for them to serve a notice, right, which must comply with Section 8, or they must cause it to be served. And that is destroying everything. You serve it or you cause it to be served. What is the purpose of serving something? The purpose of serving something is to bring it to somebody else's attention. That is the real definition of it. Now, if you are served, you are brought to my attention. If you have caused it to be served, meaning you could have done any most minimal thing that can be related towards an achievement of a service. Simply by taking this, putting it in an envelope that I was intending to take to the post office, from a legal point of view, I would have confirmed, I would have complied. Because I've done something that causes this thing to be served. Ultimately, what's meant to be served? That is the problem that we have with the legislation, as it is at the moment. Now, when the infringer comes and he wants to then say, I was not served properly, you then go back to the definition of service and you say, what is the intention? The intention was to bring this to our attention. Okay, now you want to claim that you were not aware of this because it was not served properly. When you submit the representation, you must challenge the representation, the infringer, on an individual basis. You will prove us. Which infringement are you challenging? You will say, Mr. Chui, I'm challenging infringement number A17. You are already aware of infringement A17, which defeats the whole purpose of you wanting to be able to challenge.
The point that I'm making is not that. The point that I'm making is, you have admitted, that you're not serving proper notices. The public, therefore, is not aware them as hiding things. But you can take them to court. Ultimately, there's a process that you can. You know, there also be a process where you can require them to pay to report the process, this adjudication process. But that they have not, by your own admission, received the proper notification. And it's worse, because sometimes guarantees have an issue of proper original fine. So there's millions of fines that have been issued, or partially issued, because they were written out, but it's not arrived at the person. If those go to court, because they're all going to ultimately be thrown out because the law hasn't been complied with by the issuing authority or by the RCIA, and there's millions of it. What's going to happen now to those? Because they sort of on the system, they're not live. And I mean, you've now got to run 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months, plus half another year, where they check on the system and not to see them. Which you must have got a fine for claiming 16 of these other or something. But you don't know. And now the RCIA has not sent you a letter, and they've not sent you an enforcement order. Now you hear through the grapevine, or you go to get your renewal drop out, and they say, oh, you've got all this. And you go to court to say, you know, JP is not sending the registered letter. The RCIA is not sending the following letter. The RCIA is not sending the enforcement order. That judge can throw that thing out and say they must stop again. But now there's millions on the system like that. So if you say, yeah, but you can't scale on a technicality, well, I understand that, but the public also has a right to be treated fairly and properly by the system. And I'm sure that all of you can.
Yeah,
efficiently and effectively. Because the healer is better in the relationship. And who is supposed to respond to what they are saying? It is the master of legislation in the Department of Health. The policy is the Department of Health. To draft in that review and take it through all the processes. It went to a level where Althea tried to lose the members with approach. And of course the chaplain, to the interpretation of our court, the department of North. And I went to the leader of our organization, whom she did interpret and discussion. The legislator said, he said, no, don't do that. Give me permission so that we can then make sure that we have that. What we are then expecting is that the department responds to us as well. Because in terms of common understanding and the common perspective, we are all in agreement under this perspective. This is what is needed in progress. And we don't have any reason from the department to why we did not know this. But it's what we have been pushing in the past. The relationship between the entity and the department, particularly the department making the work of the entity, creating an environment for the work of the entity for them to perform their mandate. The department should be enabling entities to do their work. But what we have been observing in the past is that instead of the department to compete with the entities, all departments will not assist the entities to do their work, where the department is expected to actually create an enabling environment. So, I would like us to present this question because even the board took that decision because of lack of permanence from the department itself to actually deal with the economy. The board is then looking at the cost of doing that work and then come to a conclusion that instead of allowing this entity to spend money, we would rather start spending it. Because we are losing money and we are not collecting anything. So that is why. And in terms of our own research now, what is being said here is that when the board suspended patients, they were also violating. They were violating the act that actually established this thing. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that they arrived at that situation having. This matter has been raised on several occasions for it to be corrected. And then what we would want to see happening more over is a commitment from the department that we need to be addressed. We need to move on this because we can't be listening to a kind of a thinking we are fresh. One is the same thing year after year. And we know what the LLM is. The LLM is in the department, the bank that is responsible for charging the bill. That's what the LLM is. So, I would not direct the question to us here. I would want the commitment to what the department is. Let us make that commitment that this issue, this broken city that is sort of fresh, we know that I'm doing in any of the things of the Commission because it's happening to you, it's going to be a mission.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, who did you most support?
I'm going to give you a Also, the Department of Transport must play its main challenge and put involved in it.
those decisions do not set up. So the Department of Transport that says this is the level that is required, and this is the type of energy that we want to use in the vehicle. So the sustainability there lies in the department to ensure that when there are hidden factors, nothing can be done. There was an issue of transferring the ARCO National Bank account to Algeria. Then the last one is the Department of Human Resources Management, particularly employment equity. Employment equity is human. But the opportunity for white women left to climb up, white women to climb up the ladder, left to climb up the ladder, and ethnic people with disabilities. Now, in your report, for black women, 60.5% of your staff. And then my question is, but it doesn't tell us who are not making the offer, who are not making the offer, how many are working, and how many of those are actually in the position, and how many people are going to be. Those are targets set by the government and UI government. Can you share and give us information on those? Can I explain this? Why women experience the same discrimination that was experienced by men in terms of human management? The people that benefited from apartheid in terms of human management are white women.
Thank you, Chairperson. With respect to that, at the moment, we do not have white females in our employ. It's something that, yes, we've been strategically moving forward in terms of the recruitment. And we have other positions that we really wanted to make sure that we can target specified groups, such as the disabled, for example. And as well as for females. For the period that we're reporting, being until the end of 31st March 2013, it was a great performance, but we're quite proud about the performance that we had. From the appointments that have been made from the last financial year up until now, it is four positions that have been filled, as senior management, and all of them have been filled by black females that are highly qualifying. Firstly, we have...
No, ma'am.
It was just a coincidence that those four positions, just the experience that have been appointed in this one. We have made specific efforts to ensure that we can render, even for the disabled, for example, because of the limited funding that we have, I've indicated that we had challenges in terms of our IT infrastructure. It is only now that our building where we occupy it, which is a building that belongs to the government PIC. Yes, we have handled it.
$50.
not run that
country. Another part of the department, we would love to know how many of the board members that have been in the NP, a former NP who has served in the Council of Ministers. Because if we had that, be more in comfort with what the president said, because you have it on the institutional level of the United States, and it will be easy for them to identify when they are looking on the economic agenda of the lawyer. Only 30 minutes to 10 minutes of the lawyer is
enough. Chairperson, it's incumbent upon the members. It's incumbent upon the members of the legislature when these are being advertised to submit names. Well, that is let's request them, and so that we can start shortlisting them and getting them. We will
really.
Oh. I have a new idea.